The World to Be Warned. St. Helena, California, February 3, 1903. The most solemn truths ever entrusted to mortals have been given to us to proclaim to the world. The proclamation of these truths is our work. The world is to be warned, and God's people are to be true to the trust committed to them. They are not to engage in speculating, neither are they to engage in business enterprises with unbelievers. For this world hinder them in doing the work given them. Christ says of his people, "Ye are the light of the world." Matthew 5, verse 14. It is not a light matter that the counsels and purposes and plans of God have been so clearly opened to us. This places on us a solemn responsibility. God expects us to impart to others the knowledge that we have been given. It is a wonderful privilege to be able to understand the will of God as revealed in the sure word of prophecy. It is the purpose of God that divine and human instrumentalities shall unite in the proclamation of his warning to the world. His people are to present this warning in a way that will draw others to Christ. "And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation, and kindred, and tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, Fear God, and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven, and earth, and the sea, and the fountains of waters." Revelation 14, verse 6-7. This message is to be proclaimed, not to a few places, but to the whole world. "And there followed another angel, saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, If any man worship the beast and his image, and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb." Verses 8 to 10. John was given a view of the remnant people of God, and as he beheld their character and their work amid the moral darkness of this world, he exclaimed, "Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus." Verse 12. "And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God, and have the testimony of Jesus Christ." Revelation 12, verse 17. "And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his holy name, and his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world." Revelation 13, verse 6-8. There will be but two classes on the world: those who worship God and keep his commandments, and those who worship the beast and his image. These two classes are in decided opposition to one another. The worshippers of the beast will persecute those who keep the commandments of God. The members of the Roman Catholic Church and of the Protestant churches will unite against the remnant people of God. On which side are we standing? Have we placed ourselves fully under the direction and protection of the Holy Spirit? And are we giving the message for this time? Does every effort we put forth tend to advance the proclamation of the message? Are we to wait until the fulfillment of these prophecies before we have anything to say concerning them? Of what value, then, will be our warning? We may and should possess a divine certainty of what is coming upon our world, for God has clearly outlined it in his word. Shall we wait until the judgments fall upon the transgressor before we tell them how to avoid them? We must watch for souls as they that must give an account. Where is our faith in the word of God? Must we see these things come to pass before we will believe them? The light has come in clear, distinct rays that the great day of the Lord is at hand, even at the door. Matthew 24, verse 33. Let us read and understand before it is too late. Study carefully the second chapter of Isaiah.
Enter into the rock, and hide thee in the dust, the fear of the Lord, and for the glory of his majesty. The lofty looks of man shall be humbled, and the haughtiness of men shall be bowed down. And the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. For the day of the Lord of hosts shall be upon everyone that is proud and lofty, and everyone that is lifted up, and he shall be brought low. And upon all the cedars of Lebanon that are high and lifted up, and upon all the hills that are lifted up, and upon every high tower, and upon every fenced wall, and upon all the ships of Tarshish, and upon all pleasant pictures. And the loftiness of man shall be bowed down, and the haughtiness of man shall be made low, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day, and the idols he shall utterly abolish. And they shall go into the holds of the rocks, and into the caves of the earth, for fear of the Lord, and for the glory of his majesty, when he ariseth to shake terribly the earth. In that day a man shall cast his idols of silver, and his idols of gold, which they made each one for himself to worship, to the moles and to the bats, to go into the clefts of the rocks, and into the tops of the ragged rocks, for fear of the Lord, and for the glory of his majesty, when he ariseth to shake terribly the earth. Cease ye from man, whose breath is in his nostrils, for wherein is he to be accounted of? Verses 10 to 22. The second chapter of Joel speaks of the judgments that will come upon the world for their iniquity. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. Verse 1. Therefore also now, saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart, and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. Who knoweth if he will return and repent, and leave a blessing behind him, even a meat offering and a drink offering unto the Lord your God? Verses 12 to 14. The Lord has declared the judgments and calamities that must fall upon those who continue to dishonor him. Warnings have been given by God, and these warnings should be kept before the people. Whosoever will may escape. Those whom God has appointed are to give the call to flee from the wrath to come. Blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children, and those that suck the breasts. Let the bridegroom go forth of his chamber, and the bride out of her closet. Let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, Spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thine heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, Where is their God? Then will the Lord be jealous for his land, and pity his people. Yea, the Lord will answer and say unto his people, Behold, I will send you corn and wine and oil, and ye shall be satisfied therewith, and I will no more make you a reproach among the heathen. Fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. Be not afraid, ye beasts of the field. For the pastures of the wilderness do spring, for the tree beareth her fruit, the fig tree and the vine do yield their strength. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, For he hath given you the former rain moderately. And he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first month. And the floors shall be full of wheat, and the vats shall overflow with wine and oil. And I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the cankerworm, and the caterpillar, and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. And ye shall eat in plenty, and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God, that hath dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never be ashamed. Verses 15 to 19, 21 to 26. Let those who love God bear these promises in mind. Trust him, and lean not on the arm of flesh.
And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord hath said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. Verses 28 to 32. A reform needed. There is a heavy burden resting on my soul. Many things have been presented to me in figures, and I am made to realize that the Lord has a controversy with the managers of our publishing houses and sanitariums. These men are not to take the position that the institutions with which they are connected are undenominational. The Lord has chosen Seventh-day Adventists as his peculiar people. They are to stand on a high plane and are to carry forward his work. To them, if they are faithful, he will make known his will. Institutions have been established that the work of God may be more rapidly carried forward. But unless these institutions are conducted in accordance with God's plan, they might better not exist. God is greatly dishonored when those connected with his institutions do not keep his fear before them and make no difference between the sacred and the common. Those in charge of our publishing houses have not always followed holy principles. There are those who have said, "The temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are we," Jeremiah 7, verse 4, but whose attitude has been such that God has been greatly dishonored and his temple defiled. The work coming from their hands has been marred by worldly methods and by their unchristlike spirit. Deception has been practiced with the sanction of the managers. In the sight of God, these men are more guilty than those who have never heard the truth. Objectionable matter has been brought into the publishing houses. This matter has wrought great injury to the souls of those handling it. Much money has been expended for large presses that would not have been needed had all the objectionable matter been refused. God has been greatly dishonored. I am bidden to say to those in charge of our publishing houses, examine yourselves, have pity on your souls, for you are on losing ground. The Lord cannot bless you while you refuse to humble your proud spirits in obedience to his will. God says, say to them that unless they repent, I will come near to them in judgment. See Malachi 3, verse 5. Will you not see where you have erred and repent? Unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Revelation 3, verse 14 to 19.